Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Patriots Training Camp Recap Podcast for Day 7. I'm Alex Barth from 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're joined today by Jeff Howe. He covers the Patriots for The Athletic. And Jeff, let's start with the quarterbacks. Heavy, heavy workload for Mac Jones today. What did you make of that?
I thought he had a really good bounce back day. And we'll take that with a grain of salt because, you know, we'll see what he looks like in pads again on Thursday. But he was crisp. I loved the way that he identified the blitzes. I mean, a number of them where he stepped. It wasn't even so much as some of the plays earlier in camp when he stepped up in the pocket and to avoid the pressure as it was, okay, you know, I've got Anthony Jennings blitzing from the right side linebacker spot. I'm going to hit the guy slanting into his zone. He did stuff like that two or three times. There was another blindside blitz that you could tell he felt off the back. He was able to turn and loft the ball over a jumping linebacker into James White's hands. So we made smart plays off of quick reads. And he really, I mean, if you look at the last three, this is sort of cherry picking, I guess, but the last three practices in shells, Sunday, Monday, and then today, or no, Monday, Tuesday, and then today, yeah, or something, Sunday, Monday, whatever.
I have no clue. We're so deep into camp, I have no idea what day of the week it is anymore.
Right. So what? Oh no! Saturday, Monday. What? Oh God! I'm sorry. I'm just nuking this entire podcast right here.
No, hang on. Let me just. I'll pull up the calendar here so we have it. They were off on Sunday, so it would have been Saturday, Monday, and today. Saturday, Monday, Wednesday. Every other day.
That's how the days of the week. I have a daughter who just graduated from kindergarten. She's better with the days of the week than I am. So that is an obnoxiously, obscenely long way of me trying to get to the point of over those practices in competitive team drills. I've got Mac Jones completing just a tick shy of 75% of his passes in 11 on 11s and 7 on 7s. So he has been red hot in those three shelled practices. But in between that was that first padded practice when he had probably his worst practice of training camp. And in the one competitive 11-on-11 period against the starters, he was 0-4. So, you know, let's see if he can – was that – so my question here is, was the padded practice an exception in the middle of a very good week? Or was the padded practice more of a glimpse into a rookie who is going to take his lumps in the more intense moments of training camp? So that's what he gets to prove on Thursday.
Well, that was going to be my next question to you is, you know, Bill Belichick calls that a real football environment is what he referred to it as earlier this week. And yeah, I agree with you. Mac has been great. I thought even his one interception today, he made a nice play to sidestep a blitzer, hit Jonnu Smith in the hands on the back shoulder. Smith just couldn't complete the catch. It falls to Devin McCourty, but you know, a guy can have one bad day and that day can coincidentally fall on the one day that's the first day of pads, but there is more weight behind that day. How much do you think the team weighs that one day and the struggles on that one day versus the successes here in the shells and shorts over the last week or so?
I think more than anything, it's just a good teaching moment because the timing isn't always going to be there. And I think one big difference between having shells versus having pads is the contact is obviously a lot lighter when you're in shells. Your targets aren't going to get rerouted as much. You know, I think back to a guy like Wes Welker, who coaches or quarterbacks, all these guys would tell me, you know, Wes Welker could run the same exact route 100 different times based off the coverage. But no matter what, he would get to the exact spot Brady wanted him to get at the exact time that he needed him there. You know, Mac Jones is still kind of working on the chemistry. So if one of his targets gets a bump at the line or maybe a little hold from a linebacker in the second level and there's a little pressure in Mac Jones' face, you know, if he's going to turn and quick and rifle the ball to the left side of the field, anticipating that guy's going to be there. Well, you know what? He might not always be there on time. And that's why I think his two worst throws in that padded practice on Tuesday were in that similar area of the field. So, you know, what's the weighted thing at? You know, another thing I kind of just want to jump off on, just to build off of, you know, your question is these quarterbacks have, it's been an interesting camp because the first half of a lot of these practices, or the first half of the team drills, you're seeing a lot of first team offense against scout team defense. And then you slowly ramp up to ones versus ones for a period, maybe two periods, depending on the day. So I've been tracking the reps in 11 on 11s when you've got the starting offense against the starting defense. And in those reps, again, all 11 on 11s, starters versus starters, I've got Cam Newton at 30 of 58 with one interception, 51.7% completion percentage. Mac Jones, 22 of 50 with two interceptions, excuse me, and one of them was the Jonnu Smith drop. So 44% completion percentage. Neither one of those completion percentages is good enough. And this is just, I think, again, you know, you look at the totality of the numbers, but if you want to zero in on, you asked, you know, is the coaching staff going to look at that padded practice and say, all right, well, that was more important than the other ones. I think, in my opinion, it's what are you doing when the ones are versus the ones? And then another caveat, Mac Jones deserves this. A lot of those, they're a mixture of those reps. I would say at least half have been with the backup offensive line. Cam Newton has exclusively had the starting offensive line. So that's a bit of a reason for, I think, the lower numbers. But that is a trend. You know, we're sitting here and we're riding this roller coaster of who had the better day by day. You know, who was crisper, who was more accurate, who threw the interceptions, who didn't. More, you know, this is going to be a entire body of work that the coaching staff is going to continue to analyze. And I think the 11 on 11s, ones versus ones, is going to be the biggest part of it about a month from now.
All right, so you had those numbers, and both guys around 50%. When we talked to Bill, here we go with the days of the week again. I think it was on Saturday. Somebody asked him what he's looking for in the quarterback competition, and he said consistency. And I don't think either of those numbers scream consistency. They're right around 50-50. That's as inconsistent as you can get. But for a guy like Cam Newton, a lot of people have him as the winner so far, and it feels like he's been – more consistent than he was in games last year. Obviously it's a very different environment, but do you think he's been consistent enough where he's Belichick level consistent? And do you think he can get there?
The first part, no, he has not been consistent enough. And he's still, even on some of his best, or, you know, I shouldn't say that, on his best day earlier this week, I mean, he only sailed like one ball out of 20 something passes, but then he had a day like, you know, he did on Wednesday when he was all over the place. You know, you had N'Keal Harry made one of the best catches that he's ever made in practice in order to save a ball. And then a couple plays later, I mean, he badly missed Kendrick Bourne on an easy drag route wide open. So, but it was more than that. You know, there were a lot of balls that were just all over the place. In terms of consistency, you know what, compare this, the start of this camp to last year, I think Cam Newton has been very similar. Now there's, of course, the stuff the coaches say, the things that he's doing that we truly in the media have no idea what we're looking at. We don't know what the play calls are. We don't know the checks at the line. There's a lot of stuff that we just, you know, we think we're smart, but we're clearly missing the boat on some major stuff behind the scenes that only the coaches and the players are seeing.
Right.
So I have to assume that they're telling us the truth and he's far away in a way better than he was a year ago. But in terms of like accuracy, moving the ball down the field, I think he's, you know, right where he's at. And, you know, just look at the start of last season, building off of that camp. I mean, he was pretty good for the first 3 weeks, and then everything just went sideways for a million different reasons. So, you know, can he get there? I don't know. That's what I think is the great part about this camp. Like, this is 5 to 6 weeks of, you know, quarterback competition or not, whatever you want to call it. You're talking about 5 to 6 weeks of very competitive practices against a really good first team defense, two joint practices, three preseason games. This isn't going to be like a 2 week sprint where all of a sudden Jarrett Stidham throws 7 picks and injures his hip four days into it. And then boom, Cam Newton's the starter. And by the time Stidham comes back, like there's not, you know, you're getting Cam ready for week one. This is, you know, can he get there? That's the big question. And that's something that, you know, whether he was hot or whether he was off or whatever, I don't think we were ever going to expect to be able to make that decision at this point, either way.
All right. You did mention N'Keal Harry in that. I do want to ask you about him because he had another good day today. It was his third kind of, you know, standout day. And when I look at the situation, you have Bourne, Myers, Aguilar. That's the top three. Then at the bottom of the depth chart, you have guys who are going to offer, you know, special teams reps, Christian Wilkerson, Isaiah Zuber. N'Keal feels caught in between where he either has to catch the top three and break into that top three, or he has to start playing special teams because it doesn't feel like the Patriots would keep a fourth wide receiver who doesn't play special teams. What do you think is his most realistic path to the roster? And then where does the trade request fit into all this? Do you still think that that's out there?
Yeah, the trade request is still a very bizarre storyline because he just wasn't really taking on those questions and the other day when he spoke to us and all that stuff. I'm sure you guys have handled that plenty, so I won't you know get too much into that.
Sure.
I just think in terms of, you know, I'm not trying to make any sweeping judgments like all of a sudden N'Keal Harry has arrived or whatever, but this practice on Wednesday was far and away the best practice he's ever had that we've seen in training camp. I mean, 6 catches on 6 targets from the top 2 quarterbacks. He was consistent. He ran really good routes. He ran a terrific route to break free over the middle when on a Mac Jones completion. He did a really good job to come back on a well-led ball down the left sideline, comeback route to ward off, I can't remember who was the cornerback. It might've been Michael Jackson. But again, you as the receiver, it doesn't matter how good the throw is, the receiver, you still have to come back hard and finish that catch. And those are things that we haven't always seen N'Keal Harry do. Over the course of camp, I mean, I think I'm sort of unique in this sense. I don't think his camp has been all that great. I mean, I personally don't care how guys look in one-on-ones. I mean, first 6 practices of camp, he had 5 catches on 11 targets from the top 2 quarterbacks in team drills. I mean, that's just not getting it done. Now, he had a really good stretch at the end of, you know, one of the first practices of camp, a couple quick touchdown passes. Yeah, that was great. But you're not seeing, you know, the big day. This was a really important, necessary day. This is a day that the Patriots and Harry have been waiting for to break out with those 6 catches. Let's see if he can turn it into something. Again, I'm not sitting here, I'm not trying to tell everybody that all of a sudden N'Keal Harry has arrived. What I can say is he had a hell of a day. And I think that was important for him as he tries to figure it out. You asked, you know, how does he fit in? I think he just has to be good enough to be the number 4 guy, somebody that, you know, you can rotate on the outside with Aguilar and you can trust him to get in there and play well enough. Because honestly, looking at those, I totally agree. The top 3 are pretty set from there. It's been fairly underwhelming because nobody's been consistent enough. I mean, Wilkerson's flashed at times, but you know, we've seen a lot of receivers have a good week of training camp.
Right.
Let's see how it goes over the course of the entire month of August. You know, Gunnar Olszewski, I think he's better than he was a year ago as a receiver. Clearly has the punt return ability that's going to help him get his roster spot. But, you know, Zuber hasn't done anything noteworthy to sit here and me confidently say he's going to crack the 53. Trey Nixon, same. He hasn't gotten enough run with the ones to think that right now he's on the inside of that bubble. Like he's looking like a practice squad guy at this very moment in camp. I mean, I think right now, if Harry continues to have more days like this, it doesn't have to be every day, but you know, 1 or 2 of these a week, he's going to be on the roster. If he doesn't, I wouldn't be overly shocked if the Patriots carry 4 tight ends and only 4 receivers, including Gunner, because you know, you can store a good chunk of the guys we've just listed on the practice squad and call them up if necessary.
Right. And I'd agree with that. I think that it's kind of hard to picture right now because the guy who you presume is going to be that third tight end in Devin Asiasi isn't out there. Dalton Keene, who would be the 4th, isn't out there. So it's hard to get a picture of that full tight end room. Troy Fumagalli had like 1 big day, but there is going to be more there. And the balance between wide receivers and tight ends, I think, is going to be, as we get closer to that cutdown date, something that becomes more and more prevalent.
Yeah, I'd even add the running backs into the mix. I mean, just look at how much run Brandon Bolden's getting now.
He's been great.
Look, Brandon Bolden gets a lot of looks with the offense in training camp. It happens every single year. But just in terms of his usage, special teams, we know what he's capable of. He's, you know, he's getting some looks. He's over J.J. Taylor on the depth chart. I think you might wind up in a situation where you carry 5 running backs and 4 receivers. And you know what, Asiasi, yeah, he's been getting some conditioning work in. That tells me he's sort of close, and I think that he should be able to do enough. But, you know, if he's sort of on the fringe, and then Dalton Keene, we haven't seen. So I have no idea what's going on with him, but that's a guy who's been injured for much of his first year plus in the league. And Matt Lacoste, he's just doing what he needs to do. He's, you know, if he is a reliable veteran third tight end on the depth chart, and the other guys just aren't ready for whatever reason, you know what? So be it. You know, Lacoste isn't going to sit there and win you any games or dazzle at the position. And if all of a sudden he's your one again, because, you know, you lose Jonnu Smith or Hunter Henry for a week or two, you know, then all of a sudden you have a big void at the position again. But the thing I like about Lacoste, he's competing and he's giving you the veteran presence that you need as that number three guy while the Patriots await Devin Asiasi and Dalton Keene.
On the defensive side of the ball, three more interceptions today. Matthew Judon had two, you know, air quote sacks because it was no pads, but two more for him. It's felt like for the most part, from day one to day seven, the defense has dominated the practices. They've set the tempo. Is that a sign that this defense is going to be that good and that complete? Or is it a defense that's played together for the most part and been together for the most part against an offense with a ton of new and a ton of moving pieces?
I think more the former, but there's certainly something to be said about the latter. I mean, the offense just isn't where it needs to be at this point just yet. But look, I've said a handful of times this offseason, I expect this defense to be the number one scoring defense in the NFL this year. And they're only going to get better because Stephon Gilmore is going to be out there, in my opinion. So this pass rush, you're going to have three waves of rushers on the outside. You've got Dont'a Hightower coming back, who had his best season as a pass rusher by my metrics in 2019. You know, Kyle Van Noy was your best pass rusher overall in 2019. Winovich was your best pass rusher last season and put up really good numbers. He's got to round out his game against the run and you know, some gap control and stuff like that. But, you know, Ronnie Perkins is off to a good start. Josh Uche has legitimate star potential as a pass rusher. Judon, two-time Pro Bowler. Don't forget about
that's how deep they are. That's how good they are.
Yeah, exactly. And he's, you know, you look at his numbers over the last 2 to 3 years. I mean, he's been one of the better pass rushers in the league. So, yeah, I mean, they are stacked. And then Barmore, oh, my goodness, that guy, he blew the doors off the building in that padded practice in one-on-ones. That is as dominant of a period as I've ever seen. So, not trying to announce that Christian Barmore is all of a sudden like J.J. Watt or anything, but that was one hell of a start.
He stood out.
That kid. Yeah, and these guys are going to be able to make more plays because you re-solidified the interior defensive line. You know, Henry Anderson back out of practice was an important piece because, you know, who knows what – I didn't know what was going to happen with him and that shoulder, the shot that he took from Marcus Martin a couple days ago. So he's a valuable piece. Godshaw, you know, there were times last year, you know, the perfect example, but there were several more like it. Right before that Bills game in Buffalo, they had to activate – Nick Thurman off the practice squad the day before the game because they had so many injuries at defensive tackle. And then Josh Allen notices the Thurman's in the goal line package on, I believe, the 1 yard line. Allen changes the play and calls a quarterback sneak right in the Thurman's gap. Like, these were the types of situations that really just destroyed that defense last year. They were so thin because of injuries at defensive tackle and at inside linebacker. I mean, Adrian Phillips, damn good football player. But they had him play an inside linebacker on a full-time basis last year. So you were so thin up the middle. They've shored a lot of that up. And then the secondary should be solid once again, especially if Gilmore is out there. So I think this defense has the makings of being absolutely terrific. And I think that's part that, you know, they're off to the start that I certainly expected them to be at this point.
And real quick here, Jeff, before we let you go, I've been asking everybody this question because I love hearing all the different answers outside of Cam versus Mac, because that's going to be talked about a ton and it will be talked about a ton for beyond camp. What battle, whether it be for a depth chart spot, a roster spot, which positional battle are you the most interested in camp this year?
Man, you put me on the spot here. That's a tough one. I mean, I think it has to be real quick, but now I'm just going to think out loud. I mean, I like the way that you're seeing them differentiate the usage of Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. I mean, they're clearly working to get Smith the ball in different ways. He's going to be an active part of this offense, but Henry, they're using totally different. That's not a battle. It's just like, you know, how are they trying to use these two guys?
Right.
Similar to Damian Harris and Sony Michel. Michel looks better than I expected him to look, and that looks like a true 1-2 type of situation. You know, we'll see what happens with Stevenson. I think he's going to work his way into the mix a little bit, but you know, the pass rushers, we've gotten into that, how exciting I think that's going to be. You know, I compare that, not saying they're going to be as good. I'm just like using this as an example. 2013, the Seahawks, their top six pass rushers, you know, none of those guys played more than 60% of the snaps and they could all get after the quarterback. you know, the Patriots have six guys on the edge who are going to be able to do that. I don't know if they're going to go 55 to 60% of the snaps, or if, you know, a guy like Judon, because he's paid as much as he is, you know, he's probably going to get 75% of the snaps or whatever. But again, that just gives you a chance to roll wave after wave after wave. But aside from that, I mean, like, you know, there's not really a whole lot of battles in the secondary. Adrian Phillips and Kyle Duggar are both going to play a ton. You know, we know how versatile their inside linebackers are. One unexpected battle, I think, in the first week of camp that's kind of been lost because Ted Karras went down. I mean, Ted Karras has sort of been pushing Shaq Mason a little bit. Yeah. I didn't expect to see that. But Shaq Mason has been really, really good. So I don't expect that to be like an overtaking there. And then, you know, a little less exciting, but, you know, it's a wide open race for numbers 4 and 5 on the receiver depth chart. So I'm pretty sure I just ran the gamut and perfectly covered both sides of the fence there with that answer. I'm sorry. You caught me off guard. So I had to say everything.
It's all good. I mean, it's not like there's that's part of the reason I've asked the question is I don't think outside of that quarterback one, there's not one spot where you look at and you think, okay, this is like heightened competition right here. It's kind of all spread out, and that's what makes it so interesting. But Jeff, thank you so much for joining us today. For more on Jeff's coverage of training camp, you can follow him on Twitter @JeffPHow. Jeff, thank you again for joining us.
Of course. Thanks for having me.